Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Eric.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. The other day, we were invited by the kind people over at Now What NYC to speak to a big audience down at the Canal Street Market about our journeys, about It's the Real, about any questions they might have had, and it went very well.
Went so well.
Yes.
That.
Yeah.
I don't have anything to follow.
Wait, yeah, I thought you were going to be like, they presented us with like flowers and confetti and,
yeah.
You know,
no, they didn't
money.
Do it. They didn't do any of that. Actually, maybe it didn't go that well.
Yeah.
I think it went pretty well.
I thought so, too.
Yeah. Like, everybody clapped.
Yeah.
Nobody booed.
Yeah, I guess.
But nobody gave us gifts.
What is, yeah, is that the mark of a good lecture?
That people give us gifts? Listen, I saw Lil B in concert, and everybody gave him, like, spatulas.
Would you call a Lil B show a lecture? I guess maybe.
It was something. I wouldn't call it a concert. It was a whole experience.
What was... Do you remember... Who did you see? You saw...
I saw Krayshawn twice.
No. No, the other one.
The other one.
The one with the MTV logo tattooed.
Oh, yeah, I saw Riff Raff.
Riff Raff.
Yeah.
What was his concert like? It was like he just played the music and...
No, that
didn't
was
rap along.
Crazy. That was... what happened there? He definitely performed. He did a country song. I remember that.
Okay, early.
He was way before Old Town Road.
Well, you know. Okay. So we didn't do any of those type of shows.
Yeah.
We went and we sat down in front of an audience and told our story.
No country songs.
Should you guys want to hear our story and us answer your questions, whether it's at your university, whether it's at your high school, whether it's at your
house.
Yeah. Whether it's at your job. Whether you want us to.
Yeah. Wait, but don't tell your bosses.
No, that'd be fun. That'd be fun if we just show up for a meeting.
With microphones. And
I'll wear a suit. I don't care.
I would not.
I'll bring like a PowerPoint presentation.
Yeah, but you should wear a suit. I should not.
Yeah.
We show up in a person's office.
Yes.
Without being invited,
are
and
you,
do a 45-minute thing and then get mad when anybody tries to leave.
But by the way, 45 is light.
Okay, fine. We'll do a...
I'm willing to stay there all afternoon.
Yeah, we'll do a five-hour,
not impossible.
Closed-door match.
Did we talk about... We recently had...
Cage match.
We recently had a presentation at a big agency here in the city.
Huge agency.
And we sat down and they have tiered seating.
Oh, we didn't tell the story. Good.
And we sat down... And we played videos, we told stories, we were very engaging, we had a lot of laughs.
Yeah, we thought we were killing it.
No, honestly, like applause.
Applause.
No gifts.
No gifts. But, so it's not that many people there. Like, it was a big agency,
yeah,
but it's
20 people.
20 people,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they're all people who are looking to do business with us.
Yeah, some of them have computers, some of them have notepads. You, like, look around, you make eye contact with everyone.
It's a bright room.
Yeah.
There's only three rows.
Yeah.
In the third row... A guy's passed out.
And the funny thing was, so, you know, at the applause at the end,
he wakes up.
And then everyone comes down to shake our hands and exchange emails and pleasantries
and
whatever.
And that guy was leading the charge. He was just like, yo, you guys are amazing.
We're like,
thanks so much for coming. And we're like,
you were fast asleep.
Yeah, I mean, we should have we should have told him.
Yeah.
Hey,
listen,
we
guy.
Yeah. You think you're slick.
This
we
is
saw you.
Yeah.
The lights were on.
It makes you go back to college and think about, you know, the professors aren't dumb. They can see.
No, you want to know what the worst thing I ever did was?
Sure.
Maybe this isn't the worst thing I ever did, but this is very embarrassing.
Yeah.
Elie Wiesel.
The author who wrote about the Holocaust survivor.
Yes.
Yes.
The Holocaust survivor.
Yeah.
Elie Wiesel.
Yeah.
Comes to Boston University. Well, not anymore. I think he passed away. But
okay.
He would come every year.
Yeah.
And he would do this thing and he came. I went to his lecture twice.
Yeah. So really
my freshman year, my sophomore year.
In theory, this is a chance for you youngins out there
mm-hmm.
to gain some life experience and perspective uh-huh. about the greater world, good and evil
yeah.
and history.
Yeah. I fell asleep twice.
Twice.
First time, and then I was like, you want to know what? I was awful. I'm going to go again, and I'm going to be good about it this year. And I fell asleep again.
You know, I was going to ask you why, but I don't want to know. I don't want to know what inside you, Jeff, made you want to go sit in front of this
first of all, it
terrific
was a,
human being.
A hero.
And you...
I did not do it on purpose.
Z's.
Yeah, well, didn't need to get Z's.
Damn.
My,
you were lulled to sleep by some...
No. Oh, my God. My college experience is...
Guys, if you'd like us to come and talk about this in front of your workplace or school,
I'm
or
a good person,
whatever,
I think.
We,
but I did fall asleep twice.
We are happy to do it. If you want us to tell these stories on festival stages, we are also available. Guys, go to our website and email us. Also, when you go to our website, please make sure to sign up for the newsletter. New newsletter coming out this week?
This week?
Yes.
Every 2 weeks it comes out.
It's TheReal.com.
People don't believe that it comes out every 2 weeks.
I don't know why they wouldn't.
Check the receipts.
Yeah. Go to itsthereal.com, itsthereal.com. Sign
also,
up for the newsletter.
Wait, yeah. So here's the thing. I gave away 18 bottles of Bel Air Rosé that we got before the Rick Ross thing.
So you are a good person.
I'm such a good person.
Yeah.
But I gave them away for people who subscribe to the newsletter and if they're in New
York. And them only. Also, if you sign up to the newsletter, you will be the first people to be able to purchase new It's The Real shirts. Somebody emailed last night through the website
mm-hmm.
and said, you guys have the most comfortable t-shirts ever. You put those t-shirts up again.
I'm going to buy four of them.
I'll buy four of them. So, guys, the bar has been set.
Yeah. I mean, now we're four down.
Go to itsthereal.com. Sign up for the newsletter. Be the first people to get a crack at the three new kinds of It's The Real t-shirts coming to itsthereal.com/shop very soon.
Wait,
Jeff,
can you shout out the guy so that people don't think we're making this up?
Well,
I mean, I don't know if that really actually helps.
No,
whatever.
When I say his name, it's going to be even more weird.
Is it Elie Wiesel?
It is Zachary, quote, Juicy, J-E-W-C-Y, Holtkamp. Tell me if it's real or not.
Yeah,
I don't know. Actually, his email looks real. Should I read that?
Yeah.
Go to itsthereal.com, sign up for the newsletter right now. Jeff, who's on the podcast today?
On the podcast today is Felton Brown.
Felton Brown, Dreamville's senior creative. If you guys fuck with Dreamville, if you guys fuck with Dreamville Fest, if you guys fuck with the rap camp that they did down at Tree Sound Studios in Atlanta, Georgia.
No, even if you don't fuck with any of those things, you can still you can still like Felton Brown.
If you guys like the artwork behind Revenge of the Dreamers 3, this is the podcast that you are interested in. Felton Brown, who, by the way, J. Cole just mentioned on the Big Crit record, Prove It,
mm-hmm.
that Felton was the one who introduced him to Big Crit's music.
I don't believe it. Prove it.
But there is lots more to Felton Brown than just that. He is one of the proprietors of the seminal hip-hop website, PardonMeDuke.com.
Maybe you heard of it.
He is from East Flatbush out
Maybe
in Brooklyn.
Maybe you heard of it.
He interned at Def Jam Recordings.
Maybe you heard of it.
Worked with people like Little X.
Maybe you heard of him.
And Ja Rule.
Maybe you heard of him.
And Ludacris.
Maybe you loot of him.
And he talks about how he went into advertising in between the Pardon Me Duke phase and the Dreamville phase and how he kept his mind and his heart in hip hop and what Dreamville means to him. This is an excellent episode that I am really looking forward to you guys listening to.
Mm-hmm.
So when do you want to get into it?
We already did the newsletter stuff?
We did.
All right. Then right now.
Yo, what up? It's Eric, a.k.a. Streets is Done, a.k.a. Dead End.
Yo, what up? It's Jeff, a.k.a. Break Your Body Open, a.k.a. Lose It Operation.
Yo. At Feltonomous on Instagram. Follow me.
Yes, it's their favorite podcast to waste time with It's The Real. Felton, what's happening? Everything's good. Good to see you. It is great.
You're one of the few people that we've actually gone like clubbing with.
I still have photos on my Flickr account with you guys.
Yo, shout out to Flickr. Remember that?
Yo, I got gigs of photos.
Felton Brown is one of our first friends that we actually knew in real life moving to the city. When we started It's The Real, we were up in Westchester living at our parents' spot. And then a couple months in, we moved into New York. And we might have met maybe at like pianos at like maybe the internet celebrities like gathering.
It's either that one or remember Cake Connect?
Yeah.
She used to have those events.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Like it's one of those, but we all were outside around that time.
So this was during the blogging era.
Yeah.
And
this is the birth of the blogging era.
This was. And you had a really cool blog.
I did.
Called PardonMeDuke.com. And it's such an interesting time to think about back then because there were all these different silos and there weren't like too many of them. You know, there was like the New Music Cartel. There was like, you guys, obviously, we were doing our thing, all hip hop, SOHH, and Real
Smart
Talk
enough,
New York,
Smarten
Up Nas.
Yeah, yeah, shout out to the runner of that. I don't want to out him. He doesn't want to be outed.
Right.
I always love that URL. I was just like, that's good.
It's brilliant. Yeah, that's a good one. But there was this like small community in New York where we were all like doing something that felt just different.
Yeah. And I think around that time, it was just like, it was literally like, I call that the beginning of the internet. It's kind of even pre-internet because a lot of things from that time you can't find online anymore. But it was just cool to like have a place to like share your view on things, you know? And it was kind of like early.
What was your viewpoint?
It was just like, all right, so boom. You guys remember I had like a web design office with like three of my boys.
Yes. Yeah. So you guys were all sharing one cubicle.
Remember it was like two seats?
Yeah.
Super tiny. But this is like before WeWork. This was like WeWork before WeWork.
Right.
And, it was down on, first we were on 18th Street. We started there with, we had a shared office space with like Little X, Benny Boom, Justin Francis, the director. So you used to always see like, you know, artists, hip hop, whatever. And I started this blog because I just really, you know, I just love music. I love hip hop. So we started this blog. I was like, yo, we're going to start this blog. We need a name. I don't even remember how, but it was just like we needed something kind of quirky, like Smarten Up Nas or something like that. Nah, right?
Yeah.
So it was like, back in the day, you'd always like a goon would at least tell you pardon. New York. It was like a New York thing. And he'd be like, pardon me, dude. And it's like you have etiquette. And it was like funny. I was like, you know what? I'm going to buy it. So we bought the URL, set up this blog. And then I would just talk about shit. You know, album reviews, lines that I liked, verses. Like, it wasn't really like trying to be news. It was more like,
yeah, you weren't like, yeah, it wasn't like clickbaity stuff. You weren't trying to go viral. There was no such thing as going viral back then. It was just like, this is my, it was like a Tumblr, but you know, just the stuff that you liked.
Yeah, it's like shit.
But
I,
it wasn't
like,
on Tumblr.
I reviewed albums that came out like 10 years ago. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It was like shit like that.
What was it based on? Was it like a Blogspot or was it like a WordPress?
We were WordPress. We were early WordPress. And we tried to make it like different because everyone would just like make the WordPress and then just like leave it like bare and like put the banner. I was trying to go in and learn the code shit and like customize my shit. So it looked a little more, you know, like fancy because we were web designers too. So it was
right.
Like, we got to make ours look a little different, everybody. And that would like help us stand out.
And did you have a certain schedule in terms of like how much you would like post a day?
Nah, we wanted to post a lot, but we weren't organized, man. You got to understand, like we had like our day shift was building websites. We had like a couple contracts at the time. Like we built a bunch of stuff for like Asylum Records. We did their website. Now they're back again, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we did stuff for Atlantic. We did for Virgin. We did like early website. I did like an early website for Neo.
Whoa.
So day shift was really like trying to like, My partner at the time, Brent and Curtis, and well, Brent was like the organized one. He would keep us like, yo, y'all got to be doing work, and we're trying to post like album shit when we're supposed to be getting work done. So it wasn't organized, but it was a great time, man.
What did you want to come out of that website? Did you want to have like advertising and it become like a full time business, or was it just like, I'll do this for fun?
So all right, it was for fun, but I secretly. Well, it ain't no secret no more because, like, I'm fully working in the culture now.
Yeah.
So, like, my whole life, I've always wanted to be in hip-hop. I interned at Def Jam when I was in high school. And then kind of, like, I went back into, like, my regular role, which is graphic designer, school, life. And then I always kept getting tugged back. So my personal thing was, like, yo, I got to do something in hip-hop. So it was, like, I'd be outside in hip-hop. So why not make a site about hip hop? So like every day it's like, you know, back then, you know, we were stealing. It's not good to steal anymore. So I get everything off the internet and like, you know, I'm like, let's talk about it. So that's kind of like where it was always like pulling me back, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Hip hop was always pulling me back.
Yeah. Where are you originally from?
I'm from East Flatbush. I'm from the Caribbean epicenter of Brooklyn, 46th and Church. Mm-hmm. With all my people, Jamaican Massive, done though.
Do you have a big family growing up?
Yeah. So yeah, I definitely did. I lived in a two-family house. I lived with my brother, my two sisters, and my cousins, and my aunt. And we lived in this one house on East Flatbush my whole life. And I went to school in Manhattan, though. So I used to take the train for high school. I went to Art and Design. Shout out to Art and Design. It's not there anymore. They moved it to like a little school, but that's like a really hip-hop centric school. I think Fab went there. A few people from hip-hop went to Art and Design.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm one of them.
You start going to Art and Design.
95.
Well, how early did you understand that you were like a creative guy?
Early. Like, all right. So I was like a little dude, bro. I'm still a little dude. I went to this junior high school in Brooklyn called Winthrop. And I was like super tiny. If I'm tiny now, I was super tiny.
You were like the bagel boss guy.
Yo, so I was like, yo, I can't be here. Like, I gotta like figure something out, because the next level up is like high schools that I didn't want to go to in Brooklyn. Like, Brooklyn was like different in like the 90s.
Right.
So I was like, all right, I got one talent. It was to draw. So I begged my mom and my aunt so I could go take these art tests. So I took a bunch of art tests to like a bunch of schools, and I got into graphic arts, Art and Design. I didn't get into LaGuardia, but it's all good.
Yeah.
And I went to Art and Design, and I was like, I'm out. I'm on a train after that for, you know, high school, like running around the city after school.
What kind of drawing did you do?
Illustration. I wanted to be a comic artist at one point, but that kind of like shifted. High school is like a funny time. Like, you either
like, in LaGuardia or you're not.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. It's like I got there and it's like they sold me on like, yo, they have like a big illustration program, and it wasn't that. And I was just like, it wasn't what I thought it was going to be, but it was. I still learned a lot, and I kind of started regressing back into like, all right, I don't really know what I want to do in my life. And then I got an internship at Def Jam, and that kind of like pulled me.
Well, how did you get that internship?
So my dad knew this dude. I can't remember this dude's name right now. I have to ask my dad, but he knew this dude that knew Russell Simmons, and that guy was like, I could get your son like something. I know he liked the music, because my dad don't know nothing. Around this time, 97, 98, my dad ain't no shit about hip-hop. He ain't care.
Yeah.
Wow.
He was like, don't play that shit in my car, yeah, whatever. But he was like, my son like it, so my friend knows somebody who knows somebody.
Yo, that's always the best, by the way.
So this is when Def Jam was down on like 160 Varick.
Whoa.
Like the old Def Jam building. This is like, every time I drive past, I'm like, I always tell somebody like, this is where Def Jam used to be.
Yeah.
Like, people who are in your car, people who are not in your car, you're just like, this is where Def Jam, you're just
give a fuck. I still give a fuck.
You're the old man on the block who's like, New York used to be different.
Yeah, I'm definitely that guy. So I get this thing and I get there and I'm doing street team shit. So I'm like 16, 17, putting up poster boards at in-stores, like all over the city. So every sign-in, we're out there like with like, there's like 12 of us, you know, clipping up the posters, giving out flyers, and then I always get like free CDs. I bring everything to my homies in Art Design. Tell the truth, I got photos. I would bring Def Jam 2000 t-shirts, albums. I give it out. All my peoples was laced. I took care of my people.
So we're talking like Method Man,
yeah,
Redman,
T2 Judgment Day, Dox the Name albums.
Oh man.
DMX. We went to DMX in store, and I think it was on 34th Street, and this is actually before I was in Def Jam. This is right before I started there. I was on the line, waiting at the in store, ain't get in. DMX went in, signed all the thing, went back and jumped in the limo, was about to pull off. He climbed through the roof and stood on top and started barking, and I said, that dude is ill.
Yo.
True story, New York stories.
When you were doing street team stuff, and like that really is like the introduction into like, you know, the building, right?
Yeah.
Like it is like the bottom rung on the ladder.
First you have to work outside, then you can get inside.
Right. But you're hanging up posters, you're really like, you know, promoting for these guys. Did you feel like when DMX, you know, went number one twice in 1 year, you're like, that's my win too?
I was proud, but I was like, nah, that's all him. I was proud to be in the building, because it was like, you know, Def Jam at that time was like, that was the guys. Like, they were cleaning everybody's clock. It just felt good to be a part of it, you know what I'm saying? And I used to see, like, I remember I saw, like, Ja and Irv when they were starting. I remember Irv God used to just walk around with a murderer t-shirt on, gold Rolex, and I was just like, damn, them dudes is, like, the guys, like, and watching them, like, come out, and all these dudes, Jay, selling millions of copies, see DNY, see Chris Lighty all the time, rest in peace. And it was just good to be a part of the culture in that time and just be like a fly on the wall to see like just all of that happening.
So who did you feel closest to being a Brooklyn guy? Like, did you like really root for like Jay because he was from Brooklyn?
I was in awe of Jay. You know, we weren't really supposed to talk to anybody at that time. We were kids, so we'd see them. And it was just like, you know, once in a while you'd be like, you know, like a little head check or something. Like, but it was just great. It's like, those dudes were like, it was like a myth, because I would go to school and be like, yo, I seen them. And people be like, nah, I'm telling you, I seen them. And we didn't have iPhones and shit. So it's like, it was just, it's like fake stories. Like, you
know, yeah. My girlfriend goes to another school. She lives in Canada.
Yeah. So it was crazy.
Was that an after school thing or was that like?
Yeah, it was after school. I'd steam from Art and Design, go down there. And it's like most of the days, it was like some days there was things to do. Like we'd catalog like records. There was like a record pool thing. So you help out with that. And you would, you know, organize the storage room. There was like a storage room probably the size of the kitchen. And it was like all the posters and shit. I'll never forget one day. I was in there with my boy Steve that I went to high school with. Me and him were both interning at the same time. And Method Man came in there and he wanted like, he just wanted some of his stuff. I think it was to give to somebody to give to somebody. And I remember we were in there cleaning up and we weren't, like I said, we weren't really allowed to talk to these guys. So we were in there organizing, mad hot summer day. This dude just comes in and I think he had like a bag of chips. And he was just like, yo. And we turned around and I was like, oh shit. And he was like, y'all got any of my like whatever, and, you know, we got him some stuff and he like asked us our names and he kind of like dipped off and I was just like, damn, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. What was your first concert?
My first concert, this is crazy, it might either be Hard Knock Life or it might be R. Kelly's 12 play album. Somebody gave me like 2 free tickets when I was in high school. And I didn't have a car. I was a kid, and I had
my... Listen, you don't have to qualify it, you know. It was a different time.
Yeah. My cousin, she drove me. I gave her... I was like, yo, I'll give you a ticket.
Yeah.
And we drove in her Sentra to Jersey to the show. And I took a picture with Miss Jones.
Whoa.
Remember Miss Jones?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was mad hype. I had a picture of Miss Jones. I had a stocking cap on and a polo sweater. It was a crazy time. Stocking cap.
So did you make anything more of that Def Jam internship after it ended?
Hell yeah. So crazy shit is, towards the end of my high school terms, I'm about to graduate high school, and I'm like, I'm barely passing, and I'm like, damn, I need to fucking figure something out. And music was like really in my heart. And I used to always go by the art department. So Def Jam had the illest art department, bar none, in the industry. It was run by Say Adams. And he had a strong team under him. And I would always like, you know, like go in there and be like, just looking at the shit they were doing. They're doing Beastie Boys album covers. I remember they were working on Foxy Brown's China Doll. Mm. And Foxy was like super cool because she would always like come talk to us and like give
Brooklyn.
Us shit and hang out. Yeah. Foxy's the truth. And I would always be in Say's office. And Say was like, yo, you about to graduate, right? I'm like, yeah. He's like, so what you gonna do? And honestly, I was stuck. And he seen it in my face. He's like, yo, don't you go to that art school? Don't you go to art design? I was like, yeah. He's like, yo, why don't you fucking do that? Go to school for art. And I'm like, what? He's like, and he had a poster in his office, and it was like this poster with like 50 album covers on it. And he's like, you see all them shits? I did that. We did that here. And I was like, yeah, I'm gonna do that. And then I went away to school. I went to Art Institute of Philadelphia because of Say. And I went to school for that for a while, came back, and then me and my homies started the company that I had, E-Flat, at the time. And that's like kind of where we picked up, and I was trying to do graphic design.
So when you make your way down to Philly,
yeah,
and you meet a whole bunch of different people down there, mm-hmm. did it like expand your sort of like knowledge base and like open you up to, you know, what was going on in Philly or wherever other people came from?
Nah, I was out there like kind of like always, I was trying to get home every weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like I was really trying to get home every weekend. I was not really...
Philly was in New York,
yeah.
No, it was,
for you.
Yeah, I wasn't jacking it. And I was like, nah, I was just trying to come home. So like I went out there, did my time, came back. And like I came back and it was like, I didn't really have a plan. And I was like, all right, we go try this. And I had my homie Steve that I was doing interning at Def Jam Street Team with. He started hanging out with this dude who ended up being a cousin of Little X. So we ended up hanging out in the hood at Lil X crib playing Halo on Xbox. Like, this is mad random. Like, this is playing Xbox all the time, playing Halo, and I'm in Lil X's house. His crib was crazy. He had, like, all type of, like, samurai swords, all type of shit. And he's, like, just this cool Zen dude.
Yeah.
That became, like, a mentor to me. And then he had an office space in the city, and he was like, what do you do? And I was like, I do A, B, and C. He was like, well, I'm kind of shifting this office into, like, a communal space. I will give you, you know, you pay me rent and I'll give you a space there. And I would like PA sometimes, but then I kind of moved into like trying to, you know, get my creative business going.
So what?
Shout out to Lil X.
Yeah. Yeah.
Director X now.
Yeah. Director X. I knew him back then too as Lil X. Yeah. I first met him. I was interning at a production company here in New York.
Oh, called HSI?
No, no, Notorious Pictures. Okay. And they did, they had to handle the editing session of Hype did Kobe Bryant and Tyra Banks' video, K-O-B-E-I-L-O-V-E-U.
Oh, shit.
And Lil X came by with Tyra because they were friends. Mm. And I'm just there with these, like, legends to me. I mean, Tyra was like, but Little X at the time, I was just like, oh my God. And he was like Hype's guy. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting there and I'm just like playing, you know, the background, but enjoying like this whole process. And Little X at the time went on to just, you know, create some of the most stunning visuals and important things of obviously our lifetime.
And Tyra did okay too.
Tyra did all right.
Yeah.
But what did you take from Little X and his whole rise?
Yo, being over there, like, you gotta understand, when he had the office on 18th Street between 5th and 6th Avenue, this was like another crazy time. I probably like multiple lifetimes in my life. So at that time, so Benny Boom, X, Justin Francis all had this dope office space, and there was also in there like this dope ass casting company for like models. So like, you remember Melissa Ford?
Yeah, of course.
Melissa
yeah.
Ford is a homie. She, one of the most beautiful women.
Yes.
Ever. She would come in, and all these, you know, different people would just pass through this room. Like BMF, them dudes passed through around that time. I remember Boom shot some videos.
Wait, BMF
them.
The?
Yeah. So Benny Boom shot like videos for them. So I met all those guys back then. Like Missy would come through. Kanye West came through there. Like all these people would come through this office because these are all the guys that were shooting all the videos at the time.
Yeah.
So like all these different people from the culture would come through all the time to this office. So we just in there, you know, I'm like, got my computer open, like, you know, I build websites. You know, I'm trying to get people to like, you know, come by my desk and see what we're doing. Like, you know, we ain't
did that work?
Much work from them.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, nobody's coming by and being like, oh shit,
we
look
did,
at that.
We did some
look
work.
At that
my
coding.
Man, my man Trost, that you always, you know, my man.
Yeah,
Trost,
yeah.
He did some artwork for Saigon. Like all these people passed through there at the time, and like we always got to. We were always like always attached. It was always calling back. You know what I'm saying?
Did you ever have a pseudonym for yourself, or was it always Felton Brown?
So X used to always call me Goat, but that's because I was really good at Halo Part 1. I was not good at any of the other Halo. I used to kick their ass, but once 2 came out, 3, it just got to a point where like I just wasn't good anymore. Like,
right. It's a poor man who blames his tools. You know?
Yeah. You know, I was just not on video games anymore. I started falling off. And I never got it back. You know? X still called me the Goat. Yeah. I guess in some ways I still am.
Wait, was he good at Halo?
Yeah, he was good. We would play. This is like before internet. You used to have to connect the Xboxes together. You'd run like an Ethernet cord and put one Xbox in a room and one in the next room with a screen. We used to do that at the office on 18th. Boom would have one in his room. X would have one in his room. And we got four controls. And it's grown ass men in there playing. And you hear all type of yelling.
Yeah, yeah.
Murdering each other in Halo. True story.
By the way, you know what he does now?
What?
He yells at people about flat Earth theories on Instagram Live.
Yeah.
Yo, man. Yeah. Yo, Earth ain't flat, man.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Just for the record.
Yeah, man. Kyrie, stop.
Yeah. what videos did you PA on?
I PA'd on Dash That. That is Dash That Shit? Missy Elliott. There was one with Breakdance with Magoo. I didn't PA on Excuse Me, Miss. I missed that day. I PA'd on a lot of fucking videos. Crazy story. So shout out to Benny Boom. So y'all notice I'm a huge Ja Rule fan.
I get such
hell for this, but I'm a huge Ja Rule fan. Ja Rule is very underappreciated in hip hop. I went and saw Ja Rule the other day at King's Theater. I had like
wait the other day like
the
this
other
year
day,
yeah
like
yeah
last
yeah,
year,
okay. Yeah yeah
I had like I was like third row away from the stage.
Oh, 50 and, didn't buy your
I
row
think,
out?
I think on my story, nah, he didn't buy that out. It was packed. It was sold out. Gotta stop, y'all. I'm a big 50 fan, too. And my story, I literally recorded the whole concert. I remember I had like, you know when you have enough dots that it just looks like a line?
Yeah.
So, nah, Benny
people
Boom,
get like a third of the way through and then they just like tap, 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 tap.
And
like,
then it's
yeah.
over it.
Yeah.
Benny Boom was shooting the video for Clapback. So this is where it gets funny.
Oh, this is prime, like,
John
50.
This is 50 hate, and Ja Rule's
this wasn't prime.
No, I'm saying prime of the battle.
No, this is, like, a little after.
Yeah, Ja's losing.
Jeff called it after Wanksta.
Yeah, I was like,
this is blood in my eye. It was a tough time for his Ja Rule fans. You know what I'm saying? But Boom is like, yo, I'm shooting this video. I need extras. And Boom is like, it's paid job, whatever. So my dad used to have this a van, you know, dollar vans.
Yeah.
My dad used to rent a dollar van out to this guy. But my dad, on the off days, my dad would like, you know, Trosimi used to take this van and go all the way to, we'll go to Queens to parties. But side note, we're shooting this video for Clapback. Tros gets the car. I fill the passenger van with all my homies from the block. And we all are extras in the Clapback video.
So you all had to wear all black.
We were like all black. We had like red bandanas. They gave me like a lead pipe. It's dope. It was like, you know, I'm in the Clapback video.
Yeah.
You know, it's like quick cuts, but I'm in there. Yeah. Well, like all my homies from my block.
Do you know the timestamp?
I don't know it in my head, but I'll show it to you once we're done recording.
Yeah. Have you run into 50 ever?
So my homie Justin, so funny 50 story. My homie Justin Francis. He directed Young Buck's, a video of Young Buck's first album. So this is like peak 50, like cops, beef with Murder Inc., beef in the streets era. So they're shooting a video down in Greenpoint, and Justin's like, yo, come through the video. So I'm like, damn, I'm a big fan of 52. I was like, I'll go there. So me and two of my homies go to the set.
Pipe or no?
No. I ain't want no problems with 50. Nobody want no problems with 50.
Right.
So we get to set. First of all, you had to check in at the front gate with security, then you had to check in another part. And then when you get inside, I see my boy Justin. He's like mid shooting. So I wait at the side. There's like a cooler here. There's a cooler all the way across the set where like a bunch of like Southside dudes is with 50. They're like over there, like kind of standing. So I'm just standing here. This is like Justin's cooler with like his sodas and whatever. So we're just there, like just looking at the set. They got like a car, CG graphics, all the shit. So we're standing, there's three of us. I think it's me, Tros, Steve, or Curtis. It's like four of us. So 50 like comes in. 50 like is in the room, or across the room. 50 looks over at us. 50 walks over and he like, it's all eye contact the whole time. He opens the cooler, he's looking at us, takes a drink out like this and just walks away. I was like, what the fuck? Like, I'm a fan, I came to see, I got no problems. Like, but this is like, you know, this is the peak of when he like, I don't know who the fuck they is.
Yeah.
Why they on set? And then finally like Justin came over. And Justin was talking to us and showing us what he was doing. And then I guess after that, it was just like, oh, they just here for us.
So he didn't recognize you from, you know, moment 37 of.
Nah,
yeah.
Nah, I would have been out of there. They would have probably got at me.
Yeah. So did you ever think that you could collaborate with any of your director friends to sort of like animate stuff for their videos?
Oh, I did.
Oh, really?
So early on, I built like the first two websites for X. His like director real websites back in when Flash was popular, like all that moving stuff.
Yep. Before Apple shut Flash down.
RIP to Flash.
Yeah.
And I designed for Boom. I did the wall, like there was like a wall in the Nasty Girl remix video.
Yeah.
Where it's
with
like
all
Biggie,
the Biggie.
It's like a mural.
Yep. Yeah.
I designed those. I think Tro still has one.
Yeah. Right. And I was gonna say.
I did for Pimpin' All Over the World.
Mm-hmm.
And I told Luda this story the other day, and Luda, I don't know if he liked it. I saw him at the sessions, the recording sessions, and I was like, yo, I did some like really kind of whack CG for like your video back in the day for X. But it was like back in the day, like it worked for that era.
Mm-hmm.
In Pimpin' All Over, there's this part, like this postcard scene where it's like these stills of him like all over the world, like at Carabana.
Yep. Yeah.
And it's like, I did those. So X had me do those for the video, and it was like, you know, Photoshop shit, and they were great for the time. But
yeah,
like, looking back, it's like, God,
it was like, how did Luda respond?
It was kind of like an awkward thing, but I was proud of what I did, but I kept it real about my level. All right, I'm not one of those dudes that's gonna be like, oh, it was incredible.
Yeah,
it was not.
Yeah, you didn't go to LaGuardia, yeah, you know? Yeah,
Jesus Christ, damn. But,
yeah,
never gonna let that down.
But so wait, so whose idea was it to put in like the post?
That was X.
Because I don't remember them as postcards. I just remember them as like stills.
Yeah, they're stills. But it was like the original thought was like you like postcard style. But they were stills.
Yeah,
yeah. We shot them in the office. We shot them on green screen in the office. My homegirl Tanya's in one of the shots. She's like on Ludacris's back, I think. Like he's holding on her back, and then like a couple of video girls.
So was he there as well?
Yeah, we shot him in the office. Like they shot him in the office on a green screen.
Man.
Yeah. It was crazy. That office was like legendary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And did that sort of like fulfill your need to be in hip hop?
Nah.
Okay. So what else did you want to do?
Honestly, I never really landed on like, all right, I wanted to be Puff Daddy when I was like in high school.
And you weren't getting that from photoshopping Ludacris? No.
Well,
did you know a bunch of like artists in your grade or anything?
No, I didn't want to sign nobody. I just wanted to be Puff Daddy.
Okay, like, yeah. You wanted to dance in the videos.
yo, bro, my screen name when I was like we're like 15, 16, was like Diddy 252.
And it is,
was my clique in high school, and Diddy was Diddy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It is not that anymore.
No. I don't know. I probably still have the password, but I haven't used it since
then. Yeah.
Yeah. I wasn't fulfilled at all. Like, I didn't even know. I wanted to work in music. Like, at one point I wanted to work in music in some fashion, like on the business side. Like, I didn't think I could make music, but I wanted to be like an exec. I wanted to, like, I feel like if I didn't go away to school for art, I would have tried to stay in Def Jam and like kind of like work my way into the island side. I was like always, I used to intern with Jen Hirsch.
Yeah.
She's still over at Def Jam. I love her to death. I would have probably like stayed and like really tried to get some tutelage under her and like kind of move. But one way or another, I wanted to be in music from an exec side. I didn't want to be making music or anything.
Yeah. And what did your parents think at the time?
So my mom didn't give two fucks about that shit. My dad didn't.
Did she give one?
Nah. Okay. And my dad, like, he, I don't know. My parents just wanted me to be able to pay my own bills.
Of course.
You know what I'm saying? That's really the ultimate goal for like Caribbean parents. They want you to pay your own bills and be able to take care of yourself and keep yourself healthy. So at that time, I was not doing any of that. I was living at home and I had an office space. And I was trying to make this shit work.
And did you show them the clapback video?
Yeah, but they didn't give a fuck about clapback. I was living in the attic with clapback. They did not give a fuck about clapback. You know what I'm saying? They were proud of like little things, like when I built X's website, like they'd see things, but it was just like, you know, they ain't know, you know
right.
what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
It is interesting to think like of parents like having to describe what their kids do.
Oh.
So.
My parents don't know what the fuck I do. They still don't know what I do.
They didn't get an invite to Dreamville Fest?
No. Yeah. They kind of know what I do, but not really.
Mm. So when you're in that space and in that world, were there any younger artists that you were trying to champion like in that period? Like even before, pardon me, Duke, that you're just like, man, I really believe in this artist and no one knows about them.
Well, when I was in high school, I knew, I'm going to put this on record, I knew the South was going to run hip hop from like I was 15.
Mm. Why?
South, New York City.
We're talking about the South, not Southside Queens.
Right,
not
like right.
The South. Okay. I knew that from 15. I bought every Masterpiece CD when I was in high school. Like dead ass. I have all them shits.
Wait, that sounds like 1,000.
Yeah.
I used to buy them, bro. You know.
You were a soldier.
I had good after school money, so I was like, I used to buy CDs every week.
Mm-hmm.
I'd go to either the Wiz because Wiz had $9.99.
Nobody beats
Tuesdays.
Them.
Yeah.
Yep.
Tuesdays was $9.99. Or I go to HMV or Coconuts and I cop like 3, 4, 5 CDs.
How excited did you get when Snoop went to No Limit?
Oh, I love.
You were driving the tank.
To be sold, yeah. Not to be told.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I love that album. Slow Down with Charlie Wilson. Snoop had Charlie Wilson before Pharrell.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, he saved Charlie's life.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. Yo, let me tell you, I used to only, like, I knew about, like, Beats by the Pound. I always read liner notes. I was big on Suave House albums. Like, Tony Draper don't really get enough props. Like,
oh,
he
come
was,
on.
Like, huge at that time. Like, it kind of pained my heart to see, like, when it was, like, the fall of No Limit and the rise of Cash Money. Because it was like, damn. P was like, I looked up to P because it was just see an independent black man sitting on, like, $200 million. And he was, like, doing whatever the fuck he wanted in the industry.
Yeah.
Him, Puff. There's a Source magazine I still have in a box. It's Puff, I think Master P, and Mark Pitts on the cover.
Mm-hmm.
It's an old Source magazine. I remember I used to always look at that and be like, damn, these dudes is really like the guys. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I just...
Wait, Diddy or Diddy 252?
Yeah.
No.
You could have been Pitts 252.
It's great. I get to meet... I've met Pitts.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
But, yeah.
You know, it's just great to see, like, and the South was like, they just had a different, like, they were just so melodic in a different way, and I knew, like, and I was big on Outkast early. I cut school to go to the signing for Aquemini. Was it Aquemini? The third album. Yeah, Aquemini. And I had all three of my CDs from ATLians and
this is like 97, 98, something like that.
Yeah. Got those signed. Like, I was big on the South. The South, It was just like they were brewing for a long time, and it was just like it just seemed evident, and like New York was not fucking with.
Well, how did you even get into the South?
My cousin was in the military, and she had like a couple CDs, and then that kind of like turned my eye, and then like you know the Source, you just started in the Source, you'd see other ads, and it was just like, all right, I already got all these New York CDs, So what else is out there? And it would just be like a game where you just like collect in other places.
Yeah, but like at that time, New York radio is not playing Southern artists.
And it's also got to be strange to like try to play that around your friends who were just like, no, what? Yeah. Biggie, Jay, like these that's are facts. Foxy Brown, that's about
what
it.
What the fuck is Silk the Shocker doing like eight clicks ahead of the beat?
I remember like, so when I used to be at Def Jam, I used to be mad funny. We used to be in there just working, and I remember Shaka that managed Luda.
Yeah, Shaka Zulu. Yeah,
he used to run college radio with this dude named Eddie Rivera, and Shaka had Luda before Def Jam even went that space, right?
Yeah.
And Shaka, he was like, I had this dude from Chicago, but in Atlanta, named Luda. He used to play Incognito for us.
Yeah.
And it was fire. And I remember this. I remember Kevin Lyles was like, that South thing ain't gonna move. I do remember that on heart.
Wow.
He did deny it. It was fast.
Yeah.
I remember being a kid like, oh, okay, that's cool. And I remember
Kev, come up here and talk about it.
He could deny it. It was true. Ain't gonna lie about it. Yeah. It was funny, but it was like to see them transition to the South and Luda was selling like 3 million copies. I was like, yeah, I seen that shift coming. It's like the South was gonna have their moment and they've been reigning ever since.
Yeah.
Do you think that Luda's underrated?
Hell yeah. But you know, there's always a certain kind.
Do you think that Luda's top 50?
Top 50? Yes.
Okay.
Can you still listen to Luda records now?
Yeah.
Okay.
But the thing is, I feel like a lot of people like Luda don't get their due because like it's like they always say this thing like when Jay said that line about I ain't animated like say a Busta Rhyme.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It's like when artists are when they put comedy in their shit, when they put like that kind of energy into it, people don't take their lyricism like the same. But I feel like that in itself is even a different kind of artistry that should be taken that seriously. People need people to be so serious and me mugging. And to me, that don't mean shit.
Right.
Like, those dudes like Redman, Luda, Busta, I think all them dudes is in top 50. And a lot of people overlook them a lot of times because they ain't always got a straight face on. Ain't nobody living that next to all the time.
Right.
That shit is bullshit.
Yeah. So by the time you get to starting Pardon Me Duke, what other websites were you paying attention to and where would you get like all of your information?
Please say us.
Not Right, Two Dope Boys, You Heard That New, Smart Enough, Nas. y'all wasn't leaking.
No, we weren't. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I wasn't leaking. Like them dudes, I don't know where the fuck, I wasn't in any buildings at the time. I'd get my shit out of forums. Them dudes had to have been in buildings because they were getting CDQ like early. They were leaking stuff to the point that it would be problematic, and I was just like, damn. My thing was I couldn't do that. Like if I ever had a leak, it would be because of those dudes were the pioneers of like getting shit out to the net. Like,
did you get any C&Ds?
No, they never really fucked with me.
Yeah.
I was good. I was like under the radar. I never had problems like that. You know what I'm saying?
And what's the first moment that you felt like, whoa, we really did something? Like, is there a post that comes to mind?
All right. So there was a time that somebody from the team put up a video that wasn't supposed to be out.
Listen, there's only four of you. So.
Yeah. And you were all in one cubicle.
I will never tell. But we
shout out to Trost.
We pulled it. It was a Swizz Beatz video that wasn't supposed to ever come out, and it was like a clip. We put up a clip of this video, and it was a song Swizz had, and he was like in Dubai in the sand or some shit, and it was fire. It was a dope ass video.
How did this video get to you?
Yo, man, we ain't going in.
You're on the Rap Godfathers forum.
So this video went up for like maybe like the afternoon, and we were like, oh, we getting some clicks today. And I went to sleep, and I remember I woke up and
police were at the door.
Who's the Hot 97? Miss Info, you know she does that. It was like at 9 o'clock. She would do like that blotter.
Yeah.
And then she fucking it was like Swizz drops a new video, and she said the URL. And I was like, my stomach like dropped. Like, this is not good. This is like too much. It's like I remember that day. I remember Elliot put it up, Rap Radar put it up, and I was just like, all right, I need to take this shit down.
Yo.
I don't want no problems. I never forgot. It went down the same time, and that video's never seen the light of day.
Did you tell Swizz that at the Dreamville sessions?
Oh, hell no.
You're like, yo, what's up? Pardon Me, Duke. Like, yeah.
No. He probably was just like, where the fuck that video? You know what I'm saying? But nah, that was one time.
Was there a moment when you felt like, man, maybe this is just too much and I should fall back?
I mean, we had to make a decision. Like, at the time, it was like, so we moved from 18th Street to Astor. We were in this building right next to the public building.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like, it came down to like, like, you know, as time kept moving on, it was like you had to be up early. You had to be posting like a lot more.
Yeah.
And
because to a lot of people, that was their full time job.
Yeah.
And you already got a full time job.
I got a full time job. And it was just like, I got to make money. It's like it came to the point where it started getting really sad. Where it was like either I'm going to like really focus on like trying to get clients doing this stuff, or am I going to like lean into this? And I couldn't lean into this because this wasn't making me money. We had like ad dollars making like $300-$400 a month.
Right.
It's like four of us. It's not going to do shit. You know what I'm saying? So we kind of just leaned back into work, and like, I'd still be out, you know, I'd be out with Dallas all the time, Dallas Penn. I'd be out with Combat, rest in peace. And I still, you know, but out with y'all, we'd be outside, like I'd still be in the mix, but it was harder to keep up. It's like, to like be there and be current and be early every single day. It's literally a full-time job.
Yeah.
And like, you know, the roses and the money wasn't there. So it was like, I was like slowing down, but I also still had to love it. I was at every show, and you know, that's just, I kept in it, but I was really leaning and doing work. We built D4L's website when they did Laffy Taffy.
Whoa. Shout out to the South.
By the way, that's the right time to get in with D4L.
I was like, you know, we built that website. Shout out to my man Curtis, designed that one. And we did like a bunch of stuff. Franchise Boys. We were getting a lot of work. So it was worth it to lean into that stuff.
So people got it through, pardon me, Duke?
Nah, that stuff came through like my relationships with X.
Yeah.
Cause like X took us into a couple rooms. He took us into Virgin, and we sat down with them and met with them. And then after that, like, I don't even remember how we got Asylum. We got Atlantic, and we started doing some work with them. Joey probably don't remember this. Shout out Joey IE.
Like, yeah, big shout out to Joey.
When we did Asylum Records, he probably don't remember that I was the one that did Asylum Records. Joey, you hearing this? I built Asylum Records website around that time.
Yeah.
But like that, you know, like that was the bread and butter. So I had to kind of lean into that.
Yeah. By the way, Asylum at the time had like Bun and Cameron and
Boozy.
Yeah, definitely. Boozy. Webby.
That was a good time. And that Asylum was like kind of like an incubator.
Mm-hmm.
And then like, I remember when Gucci was on Asylum.
Gucci, absolutely.
And then when he started selling more, then they moved him up to Atlantic, I think.
Well, they went to Warner Brothers. And then in your full-time business, mm-hmm. what were you doing?
Most of the time we do like animated banners.
Yep.
Websites, like different little like designs, ads.
So designing and coding?
Yeah. So we were doing like, you know, reskins. We'd build like flash websites.
Mm-hmm.
We built a game. We built rest in peace to Pimp C. We built this game when he dropped the Pimpalation album called Pimp Slap. And it got a lot of clicks. It was literally like a game where it was like a hand you drag and slap. I gotta find that because it was like we were so hyped to build something for Pimp C.
Yeah.
And it was just like, we hit. We made it. And it was like, because we got to do something that was like different. Shout out to my man BG. Shout out to Josh. We had this ill coder named Josh Nespizdani that would build like code like crazy shit for us. We thought we had like the cheat code at the time. We was like, yo, we got this crazy coder. We used to freelance like these coders in the Ukraine. We thought we was a shit.
Wait, what was the gameplay like in the Pimp C game? Was it like based off of like a Mario or like a?
Nah, it was just like literally a hand that was slapped. I'm gonna find it. I'm gonna like.
Is it still on the internet?
No, but I could find it and like nest it, and I'll send it to you guys to play.
Yeah, please, thank you.
Yeah.
Also, imagine what your parents had to say when you were doing that at your.
Yeah, I'd show my parents never understood. I'd show them stuff, and they'd be like. All right. You know what I'm saying? This is crazy.
How's your son doing?
Good. You know.
He's around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you've had this long relationship with J. Cole. How mm-hmm. does that, like, come into...
So, crazy. So, how I met Cole was, shout out to my homie Modi. You know Modi.
Yeah.
The BC, absolutely. AKA Trilectro, X-Ray, knows everybody. He's Kevin Bacon of all type of things.
Wait, how does he have more AKAs than you did at the beginning of this podcast?
Because that's
you weren't ready.
Modi's the guy.
Yeah.
Modi, so Modi and me go back a ways, and Modi was like, when I had Part of Me Duke, Modi was like, yo, I want you to listen to this dude. He got this tape dropping. I think it'll be dope if you post it. And I was like, all right, whatever. So I'm building a website one day at my desk, and I put this CD in, and I'm like, you know, I'm just coding. And I'm rocking. I'm like, yo, who the fuck? And I think it was a Simba record. And I remember I paused it and I ran it back. And it was the first time in a long time that I heard somebody that was like, that spit in a way that made me like stop. And he wasn't on the internet. And I was just like, who the fuck is this? So I ran through the whole tape and I was like, yo. So I remember turning around to Trost, because you know, he was that little ass. And then I'm like, yo, this dude is crazy. Listen to this. So he put it on, run it back. And on the back of the disc, he had like an email or some shit. So I hit him and I was like, yo, my name's Felton. I got this blog called Pardon Me Duke. I was like, yo, I wanted to do like, I used to have this segment called Get to Know or something like that. And I was like, I want to put you on there, but I can't find no photos of you. I'd like to connect with you and like do a write up and da da da. It's like a day will go by. He hit me back. He's like, yo, what up? Da da da. And then we connected. And then I did this thing. So like I posted, and I think I was like, you know, one of the first people like put something up about Cole. And then after that, we got tight. Like we would just nerd out about hip hop. Like I would try to tell him about a verse. He tried to drop me a verse. And then we just argue about like what, like the things that make hip hop, the construction of words, like who's the best at this, who line is this, you remember this. And we would just be like friends about music.
And you guys are communicating through like IM or?
Text, email, you know,
yeah,
shit like that. I am a little bit in the beginning. Like, you know, that kind of died off quick. Text messages, you started getting a little data.
Yeah.
You know? And that was before unlimited data, y'all.
Yeah. Phone calls after 9 p.m.
Yeah, yeah, facts. Yeah. Yeah. That was crazy.
Yeah.
And then we just became homies. Like, we just were like friends. And at the time, I was going through a transitional time in my life because, like, there was a part of the music era when, music wasn't selling. Like, remember, like, right in the...
Yeah, people think that it was dying off.
Music was literally fucking dying. And with that dying, all our contracts started drying up. I had to close down our office space. It got really bad. Like, we closed it down. And we closed it down, and then we moved to Brooklyn for a while and had an office space down in Dumbo. And then we closed that one down. And it just got to a really... point where I was like still in industry. I was starting to post on Pardon Me Duke like once a day, then it gets to like once every couple of days. I was still outside, you know. I go to PNC, shout out to PNC days. But it was just like I was in the community, but I wasn't contributing to the community. And it just got to a point I was just like, you know, the money wasn't around. It was just like, damn, what the fuck I'm gonna do? And that's when I transitioned to advertising for a while. So I started working in advertising. But I was still, like, you know, outside in the culture.
Yeah.
And I was doing artwork, like, for Cole. Like, I'd do stuff for him. Like, during that time, as I was working in advertising, I would sneak at night or sneak in the daytime. Like, literally, I'm supposed to be working. I was designing artwork for Friday Night Lights. You know what I'm saying? Or, like, the single arts for stuff like Vilmatic and The Cure and stuff like that. I'd be doing that, like... at work, sending to them to get approval. And then, like, you know, I had a privacy screen at work, so like nobody would be able to see what I'm working on. But, like, you know,
they just see the mouse moving.
You know, shout out to them days.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
How much did you believe in Cole, in Ebe, in something greater than just an internet rapper?
Oh, no, I knew he was gonna be it. He was that good. Like, it's not hard to like know when somebody's that good, you know what I'm saying? Like, I knew Crit was gonna be like that. Like, there's people that you hear and they're different. Like, that's not like now. I feel like labels are signing a lot of people now, but I mean, like, when they weren't signing a lot of people stand out. Like, you knew certain people were gonna get a deal.
But the bigger problem was that the industry always didn't get different.
Right. Oh,
yeah. You know, it's hard to like move a whole building when they're so used to just one thing.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, but I mean, whether or not he,
because Kevin Lyles didn't get the South, right? Like, so allegedly. It takes a while.
Fact, yeah, Kevin hasn't been on this podcast to defend himself.
He can defend it. I would never lie to y'all. I'm my mom. And I love my mother.
Do you love Kevin Lyles?
I love him too. Because he used to work for him. I love him too.
But it takes a while for things to shift, but you saw it and believed in it.
Yeah, 100%. Like, you gotta understand, like, yo, I really love, my favorite part about hip hop is not the production, it's lyricism. It's the way dudes put words together and what they do with words. That's the best part of hip hop to me. Because most of the time, I remember back in the day, when dudes have been battled, all you hear is what? Their voices, right? Mm-hmm. So the way people put words together always been my favorite part. So when I heard Cole for the first time, that's all I fuck with. He know, like, when we talk about rap, I'm always like, that's where I go in my pocket. Like, that's what we talk about. So I knew when I heard him, I was like, oh, he's different. He's gotta blow. Even if he got signed and then he got dropped, I would still think he's that nice.
Right.
So that's why I knew, like, he'd have to get in.
What were his design conversations like with you?
We agreed. Sometimes we don't agree, you know. You know, but nah, he'd tell me things that he visioned, and then he'd let me coast at times with it. And then sometimes, you know, sometimes we agree on stuff and sometimes we don't. But for the most part, it was definitely always collaborative with him. Like, you know, he'd always have like an idea, or he'd tell me like, show me a couple things, and then he'll probably lean into something, or he'd be like, oh, not that at all. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
How did you feel, and how did you find out that Cole had signed to Jay?
Yo, I think it was a text, and he hit me, and he's like, I did it, my boy. Some shit, I can't remember. I just remember I was mad hyped, and I wasn't there. I was just mad hyped celebrating wherever I was, and I was like, let's go. It's like, what happened? I was like, yo, he in. I was like, he in where? It's like, yo, he just got signed to Jay. He's like, Jay who? Jay-Z. And I remember I was just like, I was happy, like, I got signed. Because it was just like, just to see, like, it couldn't have been a better place for him to be. Because at the end of the day, when you think about legacy and hip hop, like, you want, like those kind of trees is like, because where you start is usually where you, like, it could really either make you or break you. Like, not for nothing, you could go to another label, and I don't want to discredit any label, but you could go to a label where they don't have that light on them, and or that attention, and you could just end up getting signed and getting shelved. You know what I'm saying? That happened to a lot of dope MCs.
Yeah.
There's a lot of MCs that I really liked that got signed, and it was just not the right situation for them at the time.
Yeah, I mean, you can talk about Big Crit.
Facts.
Yeah.
And I'm a huge Crit fan.
Yeah.
And I felt like, to me, I felt like Def Jam didn't put no real money behind him.
Yeah.
And Def Jam, I felt, could have put money behind him and could put energy. Like, Sha Money wanted to do that for him. And, mm-hmm. you know, they didn't let him. You know,
but then, and then Sha was gone. Yeah.
Yeah. So to me, like, that's the problem. Like, because you could, like, it could have been a story that, like, you know, Cole got signed somewhere else and then got no light.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And that's scary. So when he got signed to Jay, it was a blank slate. So that's when I knew, because Cole had the blank slate, he was going to carve his destiny no matter what.
And there were people who came up at the same time as you who were part of this whole operation that are still around and still making news and still very, very meaningful, especially to everyone at this table. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about Nelly Ortiz?
Oh, that's the family. I love Nelly. Shout out to Nelly. Why you went to L.A.? But, you know, that's my friend. I'm doing what she always do, the bad boy.
Yeah,
bad
yeah, yeah.
Bad Bunny.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get Bad Bunny on the podcast, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, Nelly, hook that up.
Yeah.
Nelly, you know you got the juice. Nelly be trying to act like she ain't got the juice. Nelly got all the juice.
Oh, she has all of it.
She runs shit.
Yeah. I want Nelly to come in to translate for us.
Yeah, oh, for the Bad Bunny thing.
Yeah, or else I have to learn Spanish.
I love Nelly, man. Shout out to Nelly.
Yeah. What about Ib Hamad?
That's my boy. Shout out to Ib. Ib right now is somewhere on a vacation right now. Somewhere where there ain't no mosquitoes feed up.
Yeah.
To Presidente.
Brian Nolan.
Oh, B. Nolan. Shout out B. Nolan. I don't see him much.
Yeah.
We speak
online. He's also on the West Coast. Yeah,
that's why. You know what I'm saying? And I be in Cali. I'm going to pull up on you.
So what did it mean to actually, because you had been working a real job. You had been working for J. Cole. But then what, you got brought in on the actual umbrella.
Yeah, so I was an ad man for like 9 years. I was working at McGarry Bowen doing like regular ad shit. I was doing ads for like Chase Bank, Marriott Hotels. Mm. Great job though. Like,
yeah.
Great job. Advertising, I mean, you're selling, you know, like my heart was in the skill set of learning advertising, but not the products I was
Did
selling.
You watch Mad Men?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, okay.
That's a fire
yeah.
show.
Great show.
That's a great show. Incredible show, actually.
A different time.
Different time. Incredible show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really, really good television.
Were you drinking at work and smoking lots of cigarettes?
Scotch.
And yeah, mm-hmm. talking scotch. To the
I had a drawer. They had this drawer that they passed down to different people, and it was literally an alcohol drawer. Like, it was nice and designed with like velvet inside. I don't know if someone still has it at McGarry right now, but it's a drawer that was like lined and made to put bottles of alcohol.
Wow.
And we used to like drink all the time.
Did anybody ever get their legs sawed off?
No.
By a
tractor?
No. One time I was doing, so I'd always use my spaces for two things. So I had, I would always do like side projects. So I got some homies in my hood that got a label called Stack All Faces Entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's my boy, shout out to Prezi. And, one weekend I snuck into McGarry and I had my homeboy, he had an artist named Crime. I had him do a photo shoot in the main conference room and designed an album cover there. And one of my ECDs was there randomly on a Saturday. I didn't know he'd be there. So he walks in and he sees this dude with like this big ass gold chain on and this silk shirt like over the table, and a photographer's taking pictures of him. And he was like, he was cool as shit though, because he was like, first he was like, Felton, who's the gentleman with the medallion? I was like, oh, don't worry about it. I'm just doing like a little side thing. And yeah, it was cool. He didn't tell anything. So I would like always blend these worlds. So I worked at McGarry for a while. I left there. I went to McCann, and like 2 years ago, because I've been working fully only for Dreamville for 2 years as of June. Like Cole like hit me like 2 years ago, right before 4 Eyes Only, and he's like, yo, we trying to like change some things around. Why don't you come fuck with us full time? And honestly, at the time, it was like a really hard decision, because like advertising is kind of like an escalator. Like it's like a slow escalator, but it's like a guaranteed trajectory as to what you want to do in that field. But at the same time, I didn't look at my life as that's where I wanted it to be, because it's like, it's not as free, and my heart wasn't all the way in. Like, you know, I'm getting paid to convince people to buy things that they don't need.
Right.
So I didn't want to do advertising my whole life. The money was great. Money was great in advertising.
This is honestly something you really believe in and saw from the very beginning, and now you have an opportunity to be a part of that. Why not sell something that you really love?
Yeah, and it's like, working with your friends is like I had like glimmers of that in advertising. Like when I worked on campaigns, I luckily got to bring in like one of my closest friends that lives in LA to shoot a campaign for Chase. So I had that like here and there, but this is full time with my homies.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So like, you can't, like, I can't pay for that. Yep. I can't get that in dollar signs in that field.
And the Dreamville situation at that point has started over at Interscope Records.
Yeah.
So you have Joey IE over there, mm-hmm, who's leading the charge. What is your guys' relationship?
Oh, me and Joey, super cool. Like, the thing is, I knew Joey, like, before that. Like, you know, like, so I knew, like, when I knew Shaka, I knew Joey, everybody outside. So, like, Joey being over, when I go to LA, I pull up on Joey, you know
yeah,
what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and, It's just cool. Like, shout out to Laura over there, Laura Carter. Laura Carter always doing her thing over there. She keeps us in check at Dreamville, as in like scheduling and things that we need to get done. So it's like a perfect marriage. We got an office here in New York and Interscope's in LA, and you know, we have a relationship where we try to keep things more organized. We're like on the creative side. They're more like, we need to do things, get our ducks in a row type
shit. Yeah, yeah. So some of the things you were doing were?
When I first started, so I run all the social shit. So I keep all the social shit current. I still do art direction, so I work on all albums for like everybody, and I work with individual teams. Like, you know, every artist has their own camps of creatives.
Yep.
So I work with them, and then, you know, we work on digital, any kind of digital stuff or any kind of physical rollout stuff. I kind of work on all the different projects I need to, you know what I'm saying?
So as artists come in, you have to get to know them like fully. Like you might have known Boss for a while, but like maybe like
Ari Lennox
or Kaz or other people like. Yeah.
Earth Gang.
Shout out to the whole team, man. To see it growing to what everyone is today is really dope, because, you know, you meet them first, it's just like some cool shit. You don't just... And then to see how they're all like coming in into their own lights, like, I love where we are right now, and I feel like this year was like our coming out year as a company.
Yeah.
To just see like everybody starting to like come into their own positions is like... It's kind of incredible to watch. I remember when I first met Ari and Jid, it was down at the Shelter, and the Shelter is like a recording studio house in North Carolina.
Yep.
And I remember I was in the kitchen making something to eat, and like upstairs in one of the rooms, I think Elite was recording Ari, and all I heard was her voice, like up in the room, like singing in like a bedroom. I guess they had a mic in there or something. And she came down, and I was making something to eat, and I was like, yo, that was you? And she's like, yeah. I was like, yo, your voice is incredible. And like, I knew, like, the way how I felt about Cole is the way I felt, I always feel about Ari. Like the second I heard her voice and the second I first heard, like, her voice on a song, she's different to me. Like, I put all the money, all the Dreamville money on Ari Lennox. Like, she's gonna change shit.
Well, her debut album already did. I mean, it's a fantastic piece of art all the way through. It's different, it's lasting, it's meaningful, and... Man, you were absolutely right about that
I want all the roses for her.
Yeah.
Album of the year.
So In your 2 years there, not only are you putting out albums for all these artists, not only is Cole still on his trajectory, which is incredible to watch and to feel and to see, but Dreamville Fest became a reality.
Facts.
And at first it didn't because of weather.
Yo, so all right. Dreamville Fest, shout out to Adam, because Adam was the brainchild of like, he kept his foot on the neck of like, we have to do our own festival. Like the idea was always there with like Cole, Adam, and Eve to set it up. But Adam like spent years going down to Raleigh, like talking to the city council, you know, kissing babies, shaking hands, just trying to make that relationship. And like we were all scheduled to happen in September. And then like, I think like 2 weeks out, it was like, yo, there might be like really bad rain. And it was like, yeah, hurricane's coming.
That's really
like,
bad rain.
We didn't pull the plug until like about 3-4 days before. And I remember it was such a heartbreaking thing to pull the plug. It was just like, you know, like Fayetteville got hit really bad. And a lot of North Carolina got hit really bad. And it was just like, it was like a gut punch. Because like every, you know, it sold out pretty fast. We were ready to do it. Then it didn't happen. But, you know, the universe works in mysterious ways, because even though it would have been great then, I think it was 10 times greater now because of the year we're having, you know. Mm-hmm, like, yeah. It was weird. Like, we were super heartbroken. Like, damn, we got to push it all the way. I remember it was like, we didn't know if all the artists that were going to perform were going to still be able to perform. So, you know, you're going through that kind of stuff. But we did it in April. It rained the day before. It was a little muddy, but the morning of, the sun came out, and it was just a perfect concert.
Yeah. And perfect a way bigger crowd than it would have been the first time, right?
Nah, it was sold out then. Like it was still sold. It was crazy. Like, we gave people the option to get refunds.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the people kept their tickets. They was like, nah, they fucking with us.
Were people from like Carolinas?
A good portion was from Carolina, but a lot of people flew in. They said we kind of fucked up the airports there because Raleigh's not used to that kind of like people coming into town. Like, so next year is going to be, going to be even more insane.
Well, I think one of the most dope things about it is all of, like, because everyone always promises, oh, this is going to bring money to the city.
Oh, nah.
But it really did. And there's actual, like, evidence of that.
Yeah.
It's not just, you know, people spend money on, like, the grounds. It became, like, big thing for the community.
Yeah, like, you got to understand, like, Raleigh is kind of, like, ain't really, like, a big up-tempo party city. So whatever party's going on that weekend, they were all rocking because it's like 50,000 people. Was it 50,000? Am I bugging?
40.
40,000, sorry.
Yeah, I don't want to take you down. 40's still a lot.
60,000. Like, yeah. 40,000 people in town, they looking for something to do. And it's like young people. So everybody outside, everybody's out at all the restaurants. I was at Beasley's every day having chicken and waffles. Hot chicken and waffles for 3 days in a row. Like, so I could imagine that's where, you know, everybody's outside every day. And it was raining, people outside anyway, shopping, spending money at all the spots. So not only did we bring money to the city, we actually bought like just good vibes. Like, nothing bad happened at Dreamville Fest.
That's incredible.
Which was, you know, you worry about those things. You know, you have security, anything out, people, you know, anything happen. All type of shit happen at festivals. We know.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Things happen.
Yeah.
But we didn't have any of those problems, and it was just a beautiful night, you know?
How long did it take you to sort of, like, give space and then look back to be like, okay, great, here's how we'll improve it for the next year?
No, like, it's an ongoing thing. Like, we know a lot of things that we have to do for next year. So right now we're trying to make relationship with, like, different companies to, like, bring in things to help with the festival. But I feel like we kind of know, like for us to hit it out the park the first year, like, everything now is a bonus. Like, we know what we need to do to make it more, like, efficient for people. Like, you know, more food trucks and things like that. We're, like, looking at it that way.
Yeah.
As in curating, like, artists, we're going to lock in again.
And then Ja Rule.
Yeah, exactly.
Funny enough, yeah. I think he was on the menu as a potential last year.
Like, maybe you
like
didn't
early ideas, and I was like, you know, I smiled when I heard it.
Yeah.
But you know,
wait, it wasn't you that brought it up. That was like,
nah, it wasn't me.
Like,
so
who said that?
Like, yeah. It wasn't me, and I was like, oh, that'd be cool. It was like, because it was like in the slot for like, it was like the idea with Nelly.
Sure, mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was
yeah.
like one of those kind of slots.
Yeah. Talk about the Dreamville camp though.
All right, so we went to Vegas for New Year's, and then from Vegas we went straight to Atlanta for our company retreat to like figure out what the year was going to be. So we did that for like 8 days, and then we went to the camps. So the camps, The camp started about, we were always going to do like a recording camp to like work on Revenge of the Dreamers 3. And then Ebe, Cole, Barry, Zeke, and all of them were like, we got to, you know, set this idea up. So basically it was going to, I think it was going to be in LA, then it ended up being in Atlanta. And then Cole always do Tree Sounds. So he'd go, when he'd go down there, he'd go to Tree Sounds. So he went to Tree Sounds and they set up his camp. So when we got down there, it was like, you know, a few people were already like going to come in. The artists were already there. Like our internal producers were there. And then they kind of like gave a few people like early invites. But then like day one, it started being like, Ebe would be like, yo, make an invite for Swizz Beatz. Make an invite for such. So we ended up sending out like 300 and something invitations.
Whose idea was it to create the golden ticket?
The golden ticket. We've always wanted to like have like Willy Wonka moments. We wanted to put these shit in albums. We wanted to put these shits for things. Like, I think we're going to keep doing different kind of golden tickets. Like, Dollar and Dream in a way is kind of like golden ticket, but not really. But like, we've always wanted to do stuff like that. So this was like another way of doing it. Like, you know what I'm saying? And the thing was, our whole goal was like, this year we're gonna like be very inclusionary of like people outside and like highlight things. So like at first I didn't really know how many people were gonna come. I didn't think we were gonna have that many people and like producers and writers, but like as soon as the week started, it was just like motherfuckers was like, yo, I'd hop on a plane and come out of Atlanta for a couple of days. Like all type of producers, like, yo, the fucking Milwaukee Bucks came. Which was random as fuck. Like they had a game against the Hawks, and then they came and they catered like the whole like dinner for us. And then they were supposed to fly out on a plane, and then they came back the next night and hung out.
That's awesome. I don't know if you saw this, but over the weekend, so we were not invited to the Dreamville camp, which is fine. You know, there were 300 invites. It was fine.
Right.
We photoshopped one for ourselves.
I did see it, and it was a good photoshop.
Yeah, I've
seen a lot of bad ones.
Mm-hmm.
That one looks like...
Thank you very much.
Yeah. That was Eric.
The only thing that I would do differently is the serif at the bottom like pissed me off a little bit, and I would have...
just make two when I get to the office.
You want to know what? The only thing I would change is to make it actually real.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
No. But all these people in the comments were just like... Because the joke was that 8 months ago... you put this in the mail and the USPS finally delivered it SMH. And so all
so
these
many
people
comments
were just like, oh my God, like what a fuck up.
Yeah.
what a funny place, man.
I know.
Is internet, yo, you could, so social capital and social clout is so interesting. Like I did a post the other day, right? And I did it literally just because this shit is all one big social experiment. And I was at the museum with my homie Elijah and Anthony Supreme.
Yep.
And we basically stayed in the museum till the end. And I took a picture in that empty room. And I was like, private tours with that thing. It wasn't no fucking private tour.
Yo.
You know what I'm saying?
So
this is all bullshit.
There's a rapper who's, maybe he's still around. I don't know. But for a long time, he and his manager would go around and take pictures with executives that we knew and we were friends with. And it would say, price is going up. And we're always just like, that's dumb. We could take the same pictures and say, price is going up. And we always promise ourselves that we will do that. But we never do that.
Yeah, do this
that.
Year.
Yeah.
Do that shit. This is the year of clout and capping.
Yep.
Yo, this shit, try to get some money out of it, man. A lot of people making money off this culture. You should get money too. Whoever hears this, if you are part of this culture, you should be getting some money for this. So I will put up posts saying private tours. It may or may not be a private tour.
Yeah, yeah.
Because sometimes I do make it into some special things.
Yeah.
But you might not know which one. It's, I'm going to just keep doing that. Fuck that. Everybody got to do that shit.
You would send out all these golden tickets or whatever. So you had a great idea of who was going to be there. Was there anybody that you were surprised at that showed up?
Bro, I'm in the main room and I'm on my laptop actually making invites. And I have my headphones on because they're like recording this. So I'd have my headphones on listening to whatever I'm listening to, podcasts or some shit. I turn around because like the rooms were always, every room was always packed. Because like artists being there like laying stuff or like making music. So this room is packed. And like there's a couch behind me. So I turn around like this and it's fucking Akon. And he's sitting like up on the couch. And I'm like, it's Akon. So it's like random to just see Akon somewhere because you don't really see Akon out.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, when you turn around, you like shit. So Akon was like a good one. That was like a good like random like person.
Did you say what's up to Chris Bosh?
Oh, hell yeah. Chris Bosh. Chris Bosh was making beats.
That's what we heard. I asked Cole when we saw him at 4040. I was just like, yo, yeah. How were his beats?
Yeah, by the way, that's Eric's one question to him. That was Eric's
no,
one
I knew
question.
No, I knew he was leaving, so I just wanted to say what's up and ask him how Chris Bosh's beats. And he was like, yo, fire.
Yeah, that's all.
And like, Eep said that too when I saw him at your birthday.
Eric only has one question for anybody.
Yeah. But how's their beats?
Yeah, how Chris Bosh's beats. Yeah. Yeah. They said they were great. Yeah. You guys had how long down there?
I think we did like 10 days.
Okay. At what point were you just like, oh my God, this has been a while and I have no like sort of idea of.
I haven't been outside in
10
days.
Yeah, what day this. It's like a casino. It's just like.
Cause,
yeah.
Because like we kind of didn't do. We were kind of like trapped in the studio. Yeah. Like literally it's like you do the studio. It's like 5 a.m. Then we take the van back to the house. And then we'd leave like 10 a.m. to go back to the studio. It was like. And we didn't see Atlanta that much.
Right.
So it was like we were just in there in this bunker. And it was like. Honestly, though, it was as they got closer to the end, it just got really sad because it was just like really dope. Just like vibing.
It was, so really like a camp. Like it's like, oh, this time is running out. Like,
yeah, it was just
when cool. Will we all see each other again?
It was just cool just being walking through the rooms and like seeing people work like it. Because I've been to mad studio sessions. It was fun. Like that wasn't like you. I used to have fun when we used to be like in Alito Studios. When Cole was working on the warm-up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That was fun. But then you'd go to like, you'd like if you'd go visit other people's studio sessions, they weren't fun.
Right.
It was like you'd be in there, you'd be on your phone.
You're listening to the same beat over and over.
Yeah,
that shit, the shit that happened in Atlanta, I don't even know if we could recreate that.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? I don't know if we could make that energy feel like that again. Because My homie has a quote where he says, you never get to be new again. Mm. And it feels like that because like we go back and do that, you're always going to be trying to match that high. Like everybody that was in it was literally just like they were like collaborating and a lot of them dudes never collaborated before. A lot of people were like introducing themselves for the first time on some like homie shit.
Yeah.
Producers were kind of working on beats together that don't work together. So like there was like this camaraderie thing that was happening in all those rooms. That was mad fun. Like the documentary can't really show that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like they were like me getting to know like all those new artists like Buddy, Smino, Saba,
Guap Dad.
Like I didn't know like these dudes' music like that until I went down there, and these dudes were like incredible to me. I was like, and just how they create.
Yeah.
It was just fun to just watch. Like it felt like. This is gonna sound cheesy as hell. It felt like what I give a fuck about hip hop.
That sounds so cheesy as fuck.
It's super cheesy, yeah. But it's true.
Yeah. Like, oh no, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
No, it's cheesy as hell.
No, but it's genuine though. Yeah. So yeah. I mean, like
to get to experience that, like I wish I could give that to people because, like, to see that happen, and then like the album dropping and the album doing so well is a testament of what happened there, and I seen that. You know, you see that a few times in this.
So there's no plans to do another Return of the Dreamers like thing.
We're thinking about it, but I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think it could happen naturally because I think with the success of this album, a lot of people are gonna probably be like, "What's up with that next?"
Yeah.
Try and get a
spot. For sure. Actually, I mean, but also talk about the process of, and I know that you're not on that side of things, but talk about the process of like winnowing everything down to like a 12 track, 13 track.
Bro, there's like 100 and something, maybe 130 songs.
Yeah.
You know, like they'll end up out there
somehow,
on
some
other
way.
Projects.
Yeah.
We're gonna add some of them to DSPs on our own.
Yep.
Like there's been a few like that Jollof Rice record with
mm-hmm.
Boss.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of my favorite records. I was hot that it wasn't on the album. Facts. Eve.
Yeah.
But it's out. Like it's on the EP right now. Spill Milk. You know what I'm saying? Like. A lot of those, they'll make it out there. You know what I'm saying?
One more thing. Boss starts saying milk at some point.
Yeah.
Were you on board?
I don't drink milk. I drink almond milk or hemp milk.
Right.
You know, but you know, it's just
like him
I
calling,
like because it's like being fresh. You know what I'm saying? I like
him
like,
calling everything milk is so gross to me.
Why? I love like milk.
No, I'm fine with milk. I just think that it's just like I don't know. It's such a visceral like. It's almost like the way that people don't like the word moist. I'm just like I just don't like
milk. Just throws you off.
Yeah, I'm like, why are we calling things milk? Like everything is weird about it.
If
I love
you got a fresh pair of whites on. That's milk. You know what I'm saying?
That's so like that's so literal. No, these are Agassiz.
Oh,
yeah.
You got Agassiz? Well, that was the first
Agassiz, right? They are. I wouldn't call them milk.
They're
though.
Milk though.
Don't say that.
How about the artwork?
Oh, the trophy?
No, yeah, the trophy. Uh-huh. But like even dreaming it up in the first place.
Oh, so when we came, so when we started talking about revenge, like it was like, yo, we need an idea. This is like November, and honestly, like sometimes the way I process, I might like draw something like first, but it's like I'm starting to think. So I'm a kid from like back in the day shit. So like I'm a Trekkie, but you remember Star Wars, right? So Star Wars, you know, the beginning of Star Wars, you see how the words come down like that?
Yeah.
I felt like...
Or go up?
Go up. Yeah. But it has yeah. that shape.
Yes,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I was like, all right, I wanted to do something with that, and I didn't know what I wanted to do. So I first came with the really bad paper sketch of, like, revenge. And I tried to do Of the Dreamers. I was like, fuck that. So I did revenge, and I did the three. Then I scanned it, and I did, like, a black and white image, and then I kind of animated it, and I texted to Cole and Adam, and it just flickered a lot, and Cole was like, that shit kind of dope. I was like, all right, so I have something, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, all right, we got to work on this shit. So we didn't work on it initially. We just did the solid thing, and then we did the invitations, and that kind of lived for like a while, and we were like, all right, album, like after we did the sessions, we came back home, we was like, we got to figure something out, and I was like, yo. So one day me and Adam was in the office and we was like, we gotta figure out what to do with it. I was like, yo, I kind of feel like, yo, this is a celebration. This album is a celebration of where we at right now. Cause shit is kind of moving. Ari's moving. Everything's moving. Like people fucking with us. Like we gotta do a trophy. We gotta do a fucking trophy. We gotta do a trophy and we gotta celebrate this shit. So he's like, how we gonna build a trophy? So I was like, I don't know. I didn't really know how we're gonna build a trophy. I hit up a dude I used to go to high school with. My homie.
Oh, did he go to LaGuardia? Oh, no, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yo, fuck LaGuardia, yo. Art and Design, stand up. We out here doing big things. Art and Design High School, class of 1999. We doing big things. So me, I hit my homie Desi. Desi works for this company that designs like they build stuff. They build stuff for like museums. Like they build statues, all that shit. So I hit Desi. I actually hit Desi before that to build a moon. I hit him up like, yo, I need to build a fucking moon. He's like, a moon? I need a moon taller than me, bro. He's like, yo, what are you talking about? I was like, I need a moon because my homie Jid is going on tour. I need to build a moon for the Catch Me If You Can tour.
Yeah.
And I needed to say East Atlanta Playboy, and yeah. I need that shit to light the fuck up.
Yeah.
So he's like, I could build it. That shit gonna be expensive. I was like, yo, I need that shit tall. He's like, yo, you sure you don't need a small? I was like, yo, I need this shit like six and a half feet.
I wish it was sort of like Spinal Tap, where you know how like they have the
Stonehenge?
Yeah, Stonehenge that like ends up being like a foot and a half.
Nah, son, we're going big. So my homie builds this for you. He builds that and he builds a marquee that lights up for Jit's
which
tour.
We saw yeah. when we saw him in LA. Yeah.
It was fire.
Yeah,
right?
Definitely
so I'm like,
fire.
Fuck that. So I hit him again. I was like, yo, I need a trophy. So he always like
6 feet tall.
He like laughs when I hit him because I just hit him randomly. Like, I don't know how it's going to get made. I need this made. So I give him like the sketch. And first I did like a really bad Photoshop mock of what I think it would look like. I'll show it to you. It's terrible. And then he sends me back like a CAD 3D sketch of it. I'm like, boom. So he's like, all right, I can build it. It's going to take me a couple weeks to build it. So he builds it. And we go to his studio space to see it. I'm like, oh, this shit is fire. So I don't even show it to Cole yet, right? I'm like, all right, we go get this there, right? We go get some good photos done. So finally we get this piece done. And... like we get the trophy done and we get the design. We got a couple different angles of it, and I'm like, now I want to get it photographed. So there's this dope photographer in Montreal that we met on KOD tour. This dude named Nazca Demini.
He's so dope.
Yo, yeah. So I met him. Just shout out to Brian Summers, dope photographer. I'm looking on Brian's page because I'm always on my phone. Terrible. I'm always on Instagram. And I see this photo of Brian. I'm like, yo, who took this fucking photo? I'm on tour. I'm on a bus, like, going from some city to another. And he's like, oh, my man, Nazca. I'm like, oh, shit, I'm going to Montreal in, like, a couple weeks. So he connects us. So one day I'm like, my plan was to go get a photograph of all the artists. Like, yo, we take a outing while we're in Montreal. Nobody wakes up. I'm like, fuck it. I'm going to still go.
Yeah.
I want to get some poutine, and I want to go to Nazca. So I hop on a fucking train. I go to his studio space and we talk for like hours. And we talk about like a lot of ill shit. And our conversation really resonated. And I was like, and I said to him, I was like, yo, I don't know what we're going to work on together, but we're going to work on something. Fast forward a year later, we get the trophy done. And I text Naska and I'm like, yo, I want you to shoot the album cover for Revenge. I don't know how it's gonna work out, but I want to. He's like, yo, I'm in New York randomly. So I jump on it, I jump in a cab and I go to this photo space. He's shooting and I show him the thing and I'm like, one way or another, gonna work it out. We got it done like to down to the wire. Like literally, the album dropped July, 7th? I'm terrible at that. We finished the photo shoot like mid-June. Like I flew up to Montreal for a day. I literally had to illegally like bring this shit into Canada, because the way it goes, for me to be going there, I need a work permit.
Yep.
I ain't got no fucking permit.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You were there for pleasure.
I was there for a party.
And poutine. Yeah.
Shout out my homie, Visuals by Pierre Carr. He had a party out
there. Yeah, shout out to Jazzy Pierre.
So
yeah.
We wrapped the trophy up like in mad towels and stuff, because I had to check the bag. The trophy's like this tall.
Yeah, like 2 feet.
And it's heavy as fuck. I couldn't carry it. I couldn't be a carry-on. So I put it in this really big thing and I wrapped it up and padded like crazy. So mind you, I'm only there for 2 days. So when I go through customs, dude is like, you're here for what? I was like, oh, I'm just here for a party. And he's like, do you have any other luggage other than this bag? He's like, yeah, I got like a carry-on. He's like, I got something I checked on the plane. He's like, why do you have something checked on the plane if you're only here for 2 days? I was like, oh, I'm bringing, like, I have a friend who lives here now, and I'm bringing some shit that he left. And he's like, what is it? I was like, it's a trophy. He's like, trophy. He's like, yeah, because I'm like, he's going to go in the bag, so I can't just say it's clothes.
Yeah, right, yeah.
So he's like, it's a trophy. He's like, what was the trophy? Oh, it's the trophy he won. And I'm just bringing it for him. He's like, oh, okay. He's like, did he pay for it? I was like, nah, he won it in like a tournament. He's like, all right.
What was the tournament?
Nah, he didn't go that far.
Right, okay, right. God.
Listen, yeah. But I'm good on improvisation, so we can get
it. It was
going.
A basketball tournament because Chris Bosh was there and the Bucks were there. Way, and yeah,
I would have been able to allow my way through. So he lets me through. I get there late that night. The next morning, I go shoot the trophy. And that night, I went out. And then the next day, I was back in New York.
With the trophy again?
Yeah, with the trophy.
Okay, got it.
So the trophy's in the office now.
Yeah.
And we shot the album cover and we put it together. And then we announced it to the world. And that was like a real proud moment. One, because I got to work with somebody that I really wanted to.
Yep.
And it's the moment where we are now. So I'm really proud of that piece.
Man. That's so dope. Yeah. By the way, I'm pretty sure Naska is Marcus Troy's twin brother.
Yo, so funny shit. So I'm after we do the shoot, we took a break while we're shooting and we went. No. The first time I met him. This happened when I first met him when we was on KOD tour. So I meet up with Naska, and then we're like, let's go get some food around the corner. We go to this spot. And my homie is like a huge fan of Naska's, Naska's work. He follows Marcus.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there with Marcus and Naska eating, and my boy's like, yeah, you out there in Montreal, you got to check this dude, Marcus Troy. So I say to Naska, I was like, yo, you know this dude named Marcus Troy? And Marcus is like, that's me. And I'm like, what? I was like, yeah, like, we're brothers. We're twins. And that's when I look at them and realize, oh, shit, they are fucking twins.
And they're identical.
They're identical twins, but yeah. I didn't see it. I didn't see it, like, on some crazy shit. Like, I'm dumb. Like, I'm a fucking idiot. Because he has locks. And he's like, I was like, oh, fuck, y'all are twins. It's like, this is crazy. Like, my homie just sent me to connect with you.
Yo.
Like, so, yeah, shout out to Marcus Troy. He's a dope dude, too. Man.
Yeah. So you mentioned earlier how you were listening to Cole and then you were listening to Crit. And recently on Crit's new album, Cole's feature starts off talking about how you introduced him to Crit's music. How did it feel when that verse went out to the world?
All right. First of all, I never even knew about that. I didn't know about the record. So I'm thinking I'm assuming that record got laid during the sessions or
Crit was down there. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm thinking it happened that time, but I don't know when it happened. So I wake up that morning, and first text I get is like, yo, you on the internet. That doesn't even sound good, right?
No, so it sounds
like,
terrible.
So yeah. I'm like, all right. So I start looking through, and I'm seeing, like, at replies, like, yo, fell into a Cole. I'm like, what? So then I see the song. So I'm listening to the song, and, like, Cole comes in second verse. So I'm just listening to the song. I'm like, what am I listening for? And then I hear it. I'm like, damn, that's kind of fire. I was like, damn. And it's like, yo, it's I remember when Cole shouted me out on Forest Hills Drive, you know, and it's crazy to hear get my name on a rap album, period. You know what I'm saying?
Like, it's a, like, unique
just
name.
Just to be we're all a part of this thing, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're all a part of hip hop. And it's like, when you get any kind of nod.
The best kind of nod? Boss nod.
Yeah. Shout out to Nod. Yeah. West Coast boy for now. Yeah. Coming back.
No, but I just mean that, like, yes, it is amazing to hear like you being shouted out, but like when I hear like 50 say stuff about Jeffrey, I'm like, oh, I could take that. Even though I don't want him actually talking about Jeffrey.
Nah, but yeah, man, it's fire. And it was, I remember like being like giving Cole Crit was here. And I remember when Cole first went out on the road, he took Crit. And I was like, yo, he's like, who should I take? I was like, you should take Crit. You should take Crit. Like, Crit's dope. You got to take Crit. Y'all kind of from the same cloth. Yeah, you know, y'all going to be the guys. Because that's how I look at Crit. You know what I'm saying? They're the guys for me.
Yeah.
In the industry. You know, him, Kendrick. That's my people that I look at. Like, they're the guys to keep this thing going. So, when he's, you know, I knew he always knew that. I never thought that he'd be like, he'd nod that. Because even when him and Crit was on tour, I went to the show in, I think it was Jersey, and I didn't even, like, meet Crit. Like, I didn't have that moment. Be like, yeah, you know, I felt, you know, I'm a big fan. And, you know, I told Cole about you.
Yeah.
Like, I never had that moment. But, like, for that to be on record is, like, you know, it's amazing to me. And I thank Cole for that. That's,
yeah. So Cole is somebody who we've seen recently. He's in the city. He's playing pickup basketball, like, with the, like, Brickley and the NBA guys. But it's funny. I remember first seeing in the HBO documentary him riding his bike around the city. And now it's like continued to be this thing where he's just like here and he'll ride a bike and that's the way he moves around.
It's the same bike. It's the same bike. He rides that bike all the time.
And you're with him.
Yeah. Oh, yo. So funny story. The other night, right? He was like, we gotta do this. So we go ride over to Brooklyn Bridge. I'm like, bet, we gotta do it. So I'm hyped. I'm like, all right. So what is this? Saturday night, I come home. I went out. I went to some party. I came home, got my bike. Rode to Canal, rode to the west side, met him. We ride up the west side a little bit and then cut into the city. So we ride through the city, ride all the way up to Columbus, bus over to the Apple store. We go to the Apple store. He got to get a new phone. Cole is notorious for like, he's the phone destroyer. Right? So we get a phone, we ride to the east side, and now we're riding down because the goal is we're going to ride over the Brooklyn Bridge.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, we go ride over the Brooklyn Bridge. We're riding, we're cruising on 2nd Avenue. I fucking catch a fucking flat on 22nd and 2nd.
Damn.
And I seen the pothole. I seen it like right before it happened. I got one headphone in. I'm listening to Maxo. And then
you boom. Aimed for that.
Yeah.
But it popped my back tire. So it literally happens. And I'm riding for a little bit, but I just start, you know, you start feeling that.
Yeah.
I'm like, yo, because he's ahead of me. I was like, I think I got a flat. And I was like,
damn.
I knew it was the end. And I was just like, I was just so sad because like, I'm not going to make it. So
it's like the Oregon Trail.
Yeah.
It's funny because I said, I was like, yo, man, I'm just take this cab right here, man. I was like, just tell my story, man.
Yeah.
My story. So then he kept going. He did it, though. But yeah, he's always riding through the city.
Have you seen him since or was it the last time?
That was actually the last time I seen him.
Wow.
I haven't seen him since. I hope to see him again soon.
Yeah, I hope you still have a job.
Yeah.
Remember me.
It's been really, honestly, dope for us to experience this all in New York City and watch how you have moved in the last 12 years. Like, it's very meaningful to us, like, that you have gotten to where you've gotten based off of passion and love and a Swiss Beats video that you should have never put on PardonMeDuke.com.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So congratulations, Felton. We appreciate you for coming up. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. Well, congratulations.
Dreamville in the building.
Yeah.
Still going. More to come.
252 in this bitch.
Yeah. Hit me on there.
Yeah. Thanks so much.
Thank you, bro.
Thanks everyone for listening to this new episode of A Waste of Time with It's the Real Jeff. If you want to find out more about us, I'm Eric, you're Jeff. Together, we're It's the Real, no apostrophe, no spaces. One more time, It's the Real, no apostrophe, no spaces.
Good luck with that.
If people want to find out more about us and this podcast, it's called A Waste of Time with It's the Real. If people want to find out more about what's going on any day of the week, Jeff, where can they go?
You can always go to itsthereal.com, itsthereal.com. You can get all of our merch at itsthereal.com. You can even get our newsletter at itsthereal.com. Sign up today. Maybe you'll get a black bottle from Bel Air Rosé. We should get paid for all of the promo that we're doing for Bel Air Rosé.
Also, you can listen to all of our old episodes, all of our new ones, on any streaming platform, including the one that you're listening to right now.
Yes.
That's Spotify, that's Google, that's
Apple Music, that's SoundCloud.
CastBox.
That's CastBox.
It's just everywhere.
CastBox?
You listen.
CastBox.
We're on any streaming platform, including CastBox.
Yes.
We should get paid by CastBox.
Social media.
Social media. We are on Twitter at It's The Real, Facebook at It's The Real, Instagram at It's The Real.
Jeff, this is the portion of the podcast where we put a call out to the internet and we say, hey, we have a question.
Here's a question.
Where do you want us to do a live show and the internet en masse hit us back? And they said what, Jeff?
They said... in a whole bunch of places.
All right, Jeff, I'm going to read out the city and you read out who wants us to come down there. Here we go. Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Jorge H954 and friend of the podcast, Jenna Luckman.
Yeah. Philadelphia, PA.
That'd be Brett Fox, who said we would have a sold-out show. Alex Deo, who said we should come with Meek Mill and Tierra Whack.
Sure.
And Todd Gumim.
All right. Rio de Janeiro.
All right, so come to Brazil, obviously.
Yes.
Shouts to Jimmy Brandley.
There you go.
Who is not from Brazil.
Orlando, Florida.
This is a bunch. Najeri X3, Hen Griffey 281, great name. Beatmaker and Dominican 928.
All right, people want us to come back down to Atlanta, Georgia,
which we are going to be down there later this year. Ash the Stampede and Casillas Audio.
Baltimore, Maryland.
Chocolate Storm.
All right, someone wants us to come down to Fallujah, Iraq.
Yes, shout out to the commuter for, listen, you set it up, I will happily be in Fallujah, Iraq.
Salute.
Support the troops.
Charlottesville, Virginia.
That is our guy, Bro Grades.
New Orleans, Louisiana.
Carlos Marcello, Miss Callie, and OG Carlton 77.
How about Denver, Colorado?
Shout out to Jake Blackson. We were just out in Denver a few months ago.
All right, Chicago, Illinois.
J-double-O-J.
All right. Los Angeles, California.
Shout out to Shankopotamus, who has been very supportive.
Yes.
Multimedia Bob from the Inside the Vibe podcast.
You know the fucking vibes. Detroit, Michigan.
Roy is the boy. Cash Money Josh from Kalamazoo.
Close enough. Houston, Texas.
That's Jeffery and Moda Connoisseur and MJ Owens.
How about Winnipeg up there in Canada.
I want to shout out Clement Bedeku. I want to shout out Buku Rank, who said he would travel anywhere in Canada, but he did not mention Winnipeg. So, you know, make the trip to somewhere, but
that's right.
Hopefully Winnipeg.
Reno, Nevada.
Figueroa J10.
Washington, D.C., our nation's capital.
Also home to our aunt.
This is true.
And also home to Rafael Cartier, Gerard Hussein, Sean Kennedy from Frederick, Maryland, Stevie A., Jay Guevara from Richmond, Coach Wave, Believe Lando.
Shout out to the entire DMV. How about Las Vegas, Nevada?
Moi, Coupe de Gras.
How about Nashville, Tennessee?
Just Call Me Flo and In the Bud.
Jeff, does anybody want us to come back to the greatest city of them all, New York?
Well, our friend Cam does.
All right, shout out to Cam. Portland, Oregon.
That would be Dub Dynamite. I don't know anything about Dub Dynamite, but I do know it's a great name.
Does anybody want us to come to San Diego, California?
Young Lion Blog, who interviewed us, and it was a great, great interview.
Shout out to Young Lion Blog. One person would like us to come overseas, back to our second home, London, England.
Not only one person wants us to come back.
Oh, one person replied.
Responded, yeah. Yeah, so John Muro. This has only been 5 minutes on the internet.
All right, how about Phoenix, Arizona?
Row Knowledge.
Anybody, Jeff, in Rexdale, Canada?
Okay, so that is where Nav is from.
Oh, okay.
And Gucci on site, who is Nav's biggest fan, wants us to come out there. Actually, our friend Grant Ridner,
yes,
when asked to put together his list of top DMCs,
yes,
Nav was every single one.
Oh, there
all
you
50.
Go. Seattle, Washington.
Andrew J. Rivers, also Macklemore.
And
yeah, Macklemore
asked us to come out. Who wants us to come to Boston, Massachusetts?
N Law 22. Here's the thing, I haven't been back since I went to college there.
So, really, it should be a great homecoming.
It would be huge. I think people will pour out in the streets when they realize that me, Boston's favorite son, has come home.
It's the real.
Yeah.
Imagine this.
I will happily imagine this.
It's the real.
Uh-huh.
Featuring. Elie Wiesel. Jeff, now for real.
For sure.
We'll see you guys next week.
The sun's out.